from the University of Arkansas, and he'll be talking about validation of soil test-based phosphorus and potassium fertilizer recommendations for soybean.
Thank you for that introduction. Go ahead and get started. 30 to 50% of our current crop yields is attributable to fertilizer practices. The graph to your left by Stewart et al. Shows how the corn yield at the University of Illinois Morrill plots have benefited from fertilizer practices from the late 50s to the early 2000s. And so it's pretty evident from the late 50s to early 2000s that we have about over 40% yield increase that is attributable to fertilizer practices. And so we know that soil testing is an important component in this, and it's an important component in nutrient management, especially for P and K. So we know that increase for soil testing has really increased over the last decade. This graph shows the number of soil samples that have been submitted to the University of Arkansas Soil Test Lab from about 2006 to 2011. The solid line here represents the number of grid samples that are submitted and are used for variable rate fertilizer applications, and the broken line represents the number of field average samples submitted. And so overall, this equates to about a 14,200 sample per year increase in volume of samples submitted. And so this demand is, again, largely due to increased adoption of precision agriculture technologies and increased nutrient management regulations. And so something that precision agriculture has really brought out to the forefront is that precise nutrient management does not always mean accurate nutrient management. And so to support this, we know that literature shows that 25 to 60% of our current crop yield response is accounted for by our soil test results. And so that's shown by the sources below, as well as the graph to your right by Slayton et al. 2009, showing the percent relative rice yield correlated with our Malic 3 soil test potassium in Arkansas. And so this R-squared value is 63%, accounts for 63% of the variability. And so there is room for improvement, and we're not 100% accurate, and so there's always room to better our soil testing. So the objectives of our research is to assess the accuracy of our soil test-based phosphorus and potassium fertilizer recommendations for soybean. We're also interested in looking at seeing how accurate the published critical trifoliolate critical P and K concentrations are, and identifying when the crop will respond to fertilizer applications and when it will not. We had 17 sites selected at 6 Arkansas experiment station fields. We took soil samples at the 0 to 10 centimeter depth and trifoliolate samples at the R2 growth stage. We have 6 treatments with 4 potassium rates ranging from 0 to 149 kilograms of potassium per hectare. All those are combined with the recommended phosphorus rate. Treatment 5 is the recommended potassium rate with the alternate P rate, and treatment 6 is our untreated control. We have 2 P rates, 0 or 32 kilograms of P per hectare. And so the recommended and alternate P and K rates are from our preliminary soil results, soil sample results that we got before we planted the crop. In our statistical analysis, we're interested in looking at grain yield and tissue concentrations with single degree of freedom contrast comparisons, comparing treatments that received plots that received phosphorus compared to plots that received no phosphorus when potassium is non-limiting, and then plots that receive potassium compared to plots that receive no potassium when phosphorus is not limiting. We evaluated these contrasts at 3 levels of significance, 0.05, 0.1, and 0.25. So this table shows our interpretation as well as our hypothesis testing for our soil test. So the first column here represents the soil nutrient level, very low to above optimum. The next two columns represents the nutrient concentrations for each level for phosphorus and then potassium, and then the last three columns represents our hypothesis testing, where it shows where we expect to see a yield increase or no change at all when fertilizer is applied. And so in our very low and medium soil test levels, we expect to see a yield increase when fertilizer is applied, and in the optimum and above optimum, we expect to see no change when fertilizer is applied. And so in no case do we expect to see a yield decrease, but this is a possibility, which is why we included it in our hypothesis testing. So this table is set up the same way for our tissue nutrient concentrations. And so, again, we have three levels here instead of five for our soil. And so for our tissue, we have suboptimal, medium, and optimal. And we expect to see a yield increase in our suboptimum and our medium tissue concentration ranges. And then in our optimal range, we expect to see no change in yield due to fertilizer applications. And so again, we never expect to see a yield decrease, but this is a possibility. And the presented concentrations are from Mills and Jones at 96 and Slayton et al. 2010. So moving on to our results for soil test phosphorus. Again, we have our soil test phosphorus level in the first column. And then as a reminder, the expected yield response when we apply fertilizer in the second column. And then the number of sites in each soil test level. And then the last three columns represent the percentage of sites that agreed with the expected yield response. So this is pretty crucial that we understand this to understand the rest of the presentation. And so, for example, in the very low, low, and medium, we had at the 0.05 level, we had no site that responded positively to fertilizer applications. But in our optimal and above optimal category, every site did not show a yield difference when fertilizer was applied. And so the last row of the table represents the total test success calculated as an equally weighted mean of each soil test level. And so the first point I'd like to make here is that nearly all of our error occurs in the soil test levels where we expect to see a yield increase, but do not. And so although we're very poor in these two levels, we are nearly 100% accurate of when we do not need to apply phosphorus fertilizer. And so overall, we're 40 to 60% accurate in our soil test phosphorus for soybean. Moving on to trifoliate leaf P interpretation accuracy, we have the plant nutrient level in the first column, the number of sites in the second. Again, a reminder of what we expect to see in each category in the third column. And then the percentage of sites that agreed with that expected response at the 0.05, 0.1, and 0.25 level. And so again, the first point I'd like to make is that obviously we need a greater number of sites in the suboptimal category to fully evaluate these interpretations. But in the optimal category, we're pretty accurate in describing when we do not need to apply fertilizer. And overall, we're 38 to 50% accurate. For soil test potassium in soybean, this table is set up the same as soil test phosphorus. And so the first point I'd like to point out is that our soil test potassium in soybean is very accurate, very reliable, and so this is a high point of our research. But again, the majority of our error does occur in the levels where we expect to see a yield increase. And so at the 0.05 level is where the majority of it occurs, but as we move out to the 0.1 and 0.25 level, evaluating our yield responses at more liberally, that allows for smaller yield differences to become significant. And so our accuracy increases as we move out to the 0.25 level. But overall, we are 71 to 84% accurate in predicting yield response to potassium fertilizer. Now for our critical concentrations for potassium, again, the majority of our error is consistently showing that when we expect to see a yield increase, we don't always see a yield increase. But again, in the optimal category, we're pretty accurate when we don't need to apply fertilizer. So overall, we're 46 to 62% accurate in our soybean trifoliate interpretation concentrations. So, in conclusion, our soil test phosphorus interpretations, they're often unresponsive in the suboptimal medium levels for both the tissue as well as the soil. And so our trifoliate P concentrations need more suboptimal sites to fully evaluate those interpretations. And for potassium, our soil test is accurate, 71 to 84% accurate, depending on the level of significance at which you evaluate the data. And for trifoliate K concentrations, those need to be lower to encompass some of the error that falls within the suboptimal categories. So in practical application, we need to lower our soil test phosphorus levels to the levels presented here. Originally, our very low category is less than 16, but if we lower that to less than 8 is what we recommend, 9 to 16 for low, and then 17 to 24 milligrams per kilogram in the medium category. And above that, we would expect to see no yield response for the optimum and above optimum category. And our critical leaf K concentration, if you remember, we had three levels here. We had a suboptimal, medium, and an optimal category. If we lower our critical concentration to 17.5, just looking at the 17 sites that were in my research, this would improve the accuracy of the interpretations to nearly identical of the soil test potassium results, almost about 80% accurate at the 0.25 level. I'd like to thank the Arkansas Soybean Checkoff Program and the University of Arkansas for the funding, as well as my co-authors and fellow grad students for their help in this research. Any questions? The question was, what type of phosphorus sources do we use? We use triple superphosphate.
And for potassium?
For potassium, we use potash.
Just potash.
Yes, sir.
What equation did you use to model the response?
Could you repeat that?
To look at the nutrient response, what equation did you use to model the response?
Okay. The question was, what equation do we use to model the response? And so those are single degree of freedom contrast comparisons. So we took the yield of the treatment that received fertilizer and compared it to the treatment that did not, and had the difference.
Any other questions for Matt?
Yes, sir. Not specifically in for the soybeans here, but in Arkansas we do have our fertilizer recommendations specifically for rice are pH dependent, and so at the pH of 6.5 we would expect to add less. We would recommend less phosphorus than if the pH was above 6.5. And so, but as far as looking at it for specifically for these sites, I have not done that.
Any other questions? Okay, let's thank our speaker.